When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
BSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Good morning. Happy Tuesday to you. And we made it through April Fool's Day. Hopefully you didn't get fooled too much. I saw a lot of people that fell for things. And then I saw a lot of people putting out things that were just mean. You know, it's one thing if you're going to do something that's an obvious joke. It's another thing when you're really trying to play on people's emotions. But thankfully it's all over. That one day a year where you can't believe anything you read on the internet. Oh no, wait, that's every day. You can't believe anything you read on the internet, but April 1st is the one day where you especially can't. Which makes it hard when, you know, here we are, an actual media organization. We're putting out stories. Anything we put out, everybody's going to comment underneath it. Oh, April Fool, right? No. No, we're not doing that. Because even if it only ruins your credibility for one day, why would you want to intentionally do that? And you can certainly put up April Fool's content without tricking people. It's actually more fun if they're in on the joke. But anyway, if you did pull off a successful April Fool's joke on someone, let me know about it. 508-996-0500. Send me an app chat or an open line voicemail in the WBSM app. Send me an email if you need to, tim@wbsm.com. So later on today in the program, we'll be joined briefly by New York Times bestselling author Lisa Gardner. She has a new novel out, Still See You Everywhere, and she's going to join us to talk about that and what she's been doing out there on the road to promote it. It is part of her series about Frankie Elkin, who is, you know, kind of picks up cold cases and missing person cases. She's a missing person finder is how they characterize the character. And it's interesting because in this, kind of the other central figure of the book is a woman who is a notorious serial killer. So she just wrapped up, Lisa Gardner just wrapped up a national tour, including stops in Rhode Island and Massachusetts. And she's going to join us briefly this morning to talk about the book and to talk about all of her work. So again, a New York Times bestselling author, Lisa Gardner. The new novel is Still See You Everywhere. And she'll join us to talk about it. We talk mostly about things that are nonfiction. But I think that it's fun to, you know, once in a while talk with creative people, to talk with people who write works of fiction and to find out their process. I know I can't do it. I'm terrible at it. Every time I've tried to write fiction, I hate it. Even just coming up with character names, I'm like, these names feel so fake. And if I'm not going to believe it, the reader's not going to believe it. So I'm always fascinated to hear about that process. And if you missed Town Square Sunday this week, Jim had an interview with Paul Dooley, a psychotherapist from New Bedford, who recently published his first novel, which is a murder mystery based in New Bedford, centering around a fictional waterfront bar. We have a lot of people in this area. Lisa's not local. Lisa Gardner's not local. But we have a lot of people in this area who are successful fiction authors. And I think it's because we have a very inspiring community here. But we have a lot of folks who have written novels. We have a lot of folks who have written horror. But there's also a lot of, freedom these days in publishing because people can self-publish through Amazon. So you don't have to be a Lisa Gardner anymore obviously, that's the goal for many people because you want to sign with a big publisher. But if you have a story in you and you've always said, I've always wanted to publish this, but you know, every time I send it out, no literary agents get back to me, no publishers get back to me. The power is in your hands now. You could put that thing up on Amazon, set your own price, and then it's all up to you how much you promote it. Now, I've written two books with publishers. So I didn't handle any of that stuff. I didn't handle putting it up on... Well, let me rephrase that. My second book has just been re-released after we got the rights back to it and we did it ourselves. My co-author, Chris Balzano, spent all the time putting it up on Amazon and creating the new layout for it and everything. But with publishers, you know, they do all the work for you after the book is written. So if you're willing to do that work yourself, you can have a lot of success. I mean, you're not going to be Stephen King self-publishing books, but you can still do pretty well. And so people will, for some reason, ask me for advice, and I always say the same thing. How much time do you have to dedicate to this? Because if you've got the time, do it yourself. If you've got the time and a little bit of money to invest to, you know, print out the copies and bring them to local bookstores, if you've got the time to go to different book events, different conventions, if you can spend that time putting stuff out on your own and pounding pavement on your own, you'll probably do better. Unless you're going to be a major author, you'll probably do better that way because you're coughing up less to the publisher. You know, if a book sells for $25, $30, the author's lucky to make a buck or two off of that. But if you're ordering that book yourself, published from Amazon for $6, and then you go out and sell it for 20. Well, that's $14 in your pocket per book. But again, you've got to order it. You've got to bring it to the stores or go to the different events. You've got to have supply on hand. But you can do pretty well with it. That's why people always say to me, why don't you have any books when I go to different conventions or speak at libraries? Why don't you have any books for sale? Because I'm just putting money in the publisher's pocket. So if you've got that story in you, don't let a lack of a publishing contract hold you back. You've also got to spend time marketing yourself too. I have a friend who just launched a whole educational series training people how to write their own books and self-publish and promote and do all of that. And it's work. But like I said, it can be far more rewarding than if you get a publisher who's going to pay you $1 a book and you're just one of many in their stable. You do it yourself, you're your number one client. So anyway, that's just my little spiel on that. 508-996-0500. There's a very interesting story at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. We mentioned this a little bit last week, but we were able to, Ariel Dorsey was able to get in touch with Nellie Zeigel, a Fairhaven resident who is speaking of taking matters into her own hands, she's taking matters into her own hands to find a kidney donor. And so if you know somebody that might be able to do that, or if you might want to do it yourself, all the information is in the story at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. This is a woman who was a UMass Amherst student, someone who is a double major and is trying to graduate without too much interruption, is trying to avoid dialysis, and is trying to avoid having to wait 5 to 7 years for a new kidney. And she has an affliction that will cause her to need more kidney transplants in the future. So even if you're not the person this time, you might be on reserve for if she needs another transplant down the line. So again, you can check that out at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. I also have a story up too about, there's a thrift store that opened up on Tarkin Hill Road. And Tarkin Hill has a lot of little shops that when you're driving by, you might not even realize that they're there sometimes. And so that's why I call this Tucked Away, kind of on the side of Tarkin Hill Road. And this is the thrift store that has a little bit of everything. Very eclectic. It's called Treasure Hill Thrift Emporium, and it opened in November. It is, you know, kind of everything you'd be looking for in a thrift store. Little trinkets, a lot of clothing, shoes, some toys. You can see some photos in the story of stuff around the store. But there's also a very large amount of books. And this store, Casey Lynn Tatro is the proprietor of it. She has put in place this book swap. And as we've been trying to help you out with some of these articles we've been writing of where to find books on the cheap, this came up as something to feature, where you can bring up to 3 books a week and swap them out for books that are on the shelf. So if you've got some books at your house that you're already done reading, you've already read them 2 or 3 times, you don't see yourself reading them again, you're thinking about donating them, you can utilize those. You can bring them down to Treasure Hill Thrift Emporium and you can swap out three a week for books that are on the shelf. So if there's something there that you want to read, just trade. And then someone can either buy the book that you brought in or somebody else can come in and swap for that book. And Casey was saying that not only is it that people are bringing in books to swap, they're bringing in extra books and donating them. So they've had, you know, their library has really expanded there. And even if you're going to buy a book, they're pretty cheap. But this is a way for people who want to read but don't have a lot of money to be able to have access to new and different books. And you can see in the story at WBSM.com and on the app some of the titles that are on the shelves. And go down there and see for yourself, because I only could take photos of just a little bit of them. There's a whole bunch more there that I didn't even photograph. And this goes back to the conversation that we had, you know, a couple months back, where I was lamenting the loss of Ken Mark Books, the legendary Wareham bookstore, where you could get a bag, a brown paper shopping bag full of books for like $2 or $3. As many as you could stuff in there. And that those days are gone. Like I like to get used books from Savers and get books that are, you know, $20 books for $3.50, $4.50, but that's still a lot of money for some people. Especially when you walk in and there's, you know, a stack of 10 books that you want. Oh, I just spent $45 on books. I couldn't really afford that. But this way here, you can still have access to books without having to pay anything, except trading in something that somebody else will want to read. And I'm somebody that collects books. I've had books on my shelf that I've had for 30, 40 years. Probably 30. But how many times am I going to read them? One of the things that I did, I spent years collecting all the Stephen King hardcovers. Even though I'd read the paperbacks multiple times, I was trying to get all the hardcovers so that I could just have them on my shelf. And at one point, I had all the Stephen King hardcovers up to whatever year this was. But then I thought to myself, what am I going to do with these? They're just going to sit on the shelf collecting dust. If somebody comes over and says, hey, can I borrow a Stephen King? They're going to take the paperback. So I just decided to donate the hardcovers. Somebody else will read them. Somebody else will enjoy them. The organization can make a little bit of money off selling them. It got to the point where I felt like I was just hoarding books. Even though, of course, these are Stephen King books. There's millions of copies. It's not like nobody has access to that book because I'm sitting on it. It's not a Monet. Sorry, I'm the only one that can have this now. But still. And Casey Lynn Tatro's theory is, you know, nobody should have to pay for knowledge. And that's why she's created this book swap. So you can read about that at WBSM.com and on the app. You can see some of those books. They're closed today, but they'll reopen tomorrow in case you want to get over there and swap some books out. Right now, though, I've got to play some commercials. So we're going to take a break, and we'll be back in just a few moments. All right. Well, we'll take more of your calls coming up, 508-996-0500. We can say congratulations to everybody who won in Fairhaven. Tonight is Dartmouth, and today. And that is, you know, spring election season, right? Municipal elections. There's a lot going on. Chris McCarthy is going to have the winners of the Fairhaven Select Board seats on his program later on this morning. So you're going to want to tune in for South Coast Now Of course, you want to tune in every morning for South Coast Now with Chris McCarthy. He always does a fantastic job covering all the local and national issues with a very down-the-middle perspective. So he'll be having the winners of the Fairhaven Select Board race on, that being Andrew Saunders and Andrew Romano. They'll be on with Chris later on this morning. Now, though, it is time to go into the newsroom and get all the headlines of the day with Phil Devitt.
Cleanup advances at the Baltimore Bridge site. The last Pearl Harbor survivor passes away. And Powerball goes past the $1 billion mark.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
A temporary channel is now open around the site of the Baltimore Bridge collapse for essential vessels and for cleaning debris. The Francis Scott Key Bridge collapsed last week after it was struck by a cargo ship, killing six construction workers. The wreckage blocked a vital shipping lane in the port of Baltimore. The Florida Supreme Court is ruling that the state constitution doesn't protect abortion rights, a move that will soon allow enforcement of some of the strictest abortion rules in the country. The decision Monday reversed more than three decades of precedent, which held that privacy laws protected a woman's right to end a pregnancy. The ruling allows for a current 15-week ban on the procedure. At least five aid workers delivering food in war-torn Gaza are dead after an Israeli airstrike Monday, according to the nonprofit World Central Kitchen. The group delivers meals to people in war zones and disaster areas. The group's founder, Jose Andre, confirmed the deaths on social media, expressing heartbreak and a call for Israel to stop indiscriminate killing. The last living survivor of the Japanese attack on the USS Arizona in Pearl Harbor has died. Lou Conter died Monday in California, according to his family. Conter was 18 when he enlisted in the Navy and was at his post on the morning of December 7, 1941, when Japanese bombers targeted the Arizona and dozens of other ships at port. He died at the age of 102. Complaints of anti-Muslim incidents hit a record high last year, according to the Council on American-Islamic Relations. The nonprofit advocacy group says it counted over 8,000 complaints across the country in 2023. That's the highest number since it started tracking complaints three decades ago. A homeless man is under arrest in New York after allegedly attacking an actor from TV's Boardwalk Empire. Cops say 55-year-old Michael Stuhlbarg was struck in the head with a rock while walking in Central Park on Sunday night. Authorities say the Emmy Award-nominated actor chased the man until cops were able to catch up with him. Police charged the 27-year-old suspect with assault. And the Powerball jackpot is over $1 billion after no one won the grand prize in Monday night's drawing. Six tickets did, however, net players $1 million each. Those tickets were sold in North Carolina, Florida, Virginia, Minnesota, and Maryland, which recorded two lucky winners. The next drawing takes place on Wednesday with a cash option on a win of over $527 million.
WBSM Sports, brought to you by Sparks Auto in Dartmouth.
The Boston Celtics beat the Charlotte Hornets last night, 118-104. Next up, a game with the Oklahoma City Thunder on Wednesday. Red Sox and the Oakland Athletics again tonight after the Sox 9-0 victory yesterday. The game at 9:40 tonight. And the Bruins head to Nashville to play the Predators tonight at 8.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Good to be with you on this Tuesday morning. We're turning partly to mostly cloudy, around 40 this morning. Mostly cloudy skies with a slight chance of rain late day this afternoon. The wind out of the northeast. As we head into the overnight hours, that rain will be picking up. Temperatures dipping into the upper 30s. As we head into Wednesday, we'll be dealing with heavy rain at times, breezy conditions, and that the greatest chance for rain will be developing in the afternoon hours. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Ceci del Carmen on New Bedford's News Talk Station, 1420 WBSM.
I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
And welcome back in, 508-996-0500 if you want to call in and get involved in the conversation. We think that there are, I was talking, you know, before about municipal elections, and we think that there are people who are doing this because they have agendas. We think that there are people that are doing this because they have bigger designs. There are people that we think are doing this because they have a reason to serve that goes beyond just what they're going to do for their community. But I find, and if you've been listening to the interviews Chris has been having with these candidates, and if you paid attention to the folks who have run for office locally, there really is a strong sense of people who just want to give back and serve their neighbors, their friends, their family. They want to give back and serve their community. And when you look at some of these candidates who have run in the election in Fairhaven, run in these other elections in Dartmouth and Westport and Summerside and other places with votes that are coming up, there's certainly a lot of people who are doing it just because they feel that that's an area where they can give back. Parents who feel like they have some knowledge and opinion and thought about how the schools are going, or that they want to have a say in what happens with the schools. We have people who run for things like planning board, who bring business expertise and say, you know, sometimes that voice isn't always heard when it comes to some of these decisions that are made. But what I always find interesting are the people who serve on the commissions, the boards, the things that, you know, very few people would get excited about. So when I had more time, I was thinking of running for something in Wareham that I thought would be a way that I could kind of give back a little bit. And this is before I was, you know, on the radio and everything. This is, I was just, you know, working in the diner and writing sports at night. And really it was the fact that I had to work every Tuesday night. And so many of these municipal meetings were on Tuesdays and Thursdays, the nights that I had to work, that I ended up not doing it. But I was looking at things like cemetery commission. Like, when you think about that, it's an important job. But nobody really thinks about that as a position to run for because it's not one of the glamorous positions. But it's a very important one. Someone asked me recently if I would ever consider running for office. And the answer is no, I wouldn't. I just don't have the same kind of lifestyle that I did when I considered it when I was younger. And I don't have the, you know, obviously I'm still getting up early every morning. That hasn't changed, but I can't burn the candle at both ends, and the end that I would be burning in public office would be an end that would burn pretty quickly. So I just feel like I could not give 100% of myself to it. But if I ever did serve in any office, I think I would probably be part of like a historical commission. Excuse me. Because I'm passionate about history. I want to make sure we preserve history. I get some of the ins and outs of that. And also, there's just not enough people that want to serve on those types of boards and commissions anymore. So I would encourage folks who are seeing, and by the way, if you ran for something like that in your town, it's not like there's a lot of people that want to run for those positions. You might run unopposed. And if you run unopposed for something like that, it's the easiest campaign you've ever had to run because you don't need to spend any money. You don't need to fundraise. You're the only person that wants the job. It's just a formality. But there just aren't enough people that are stepping up and taking on those roles. And what's happening is the older folks who have been doing it are either retiring, stepping down, maybe due to health, maybe due to want to spend the time on something else. Maybe they're passing away. I talked with somebody from a historical society maybe about a year or so ago, maybe a little over a year ago. And just about, you know, what's the state of your organization these days. And the problem is so many of the folks had passed away since the last time I talked to them, which was pre-2020. Now, some of them, yeah, some of them passed away from COVID, but some of them just passed away anyway because of old age and or other afflictions. And there's nobody stepping in. And I know here on WBSM that this is an audience that's passionate about local history, that's passionate about preserving our local history. So I would encourage any of you that want to step up and help out in any of those roles, whether it be a historical society, historical commission, cemetery commission, things where people take for granted that it'll always be there. You know, the Board of Public Works for most towns or, you know, whatever they might call that particular board, they oversee a lot, but they also have other committees and boards that they depend on to help them with information. And you could be the person making sure that they have the right information to make the right decisions. So, yeah, that was my answer. If I ever did run for any office, it would probably be a historical commission. And then, you know, it would have to be something that I could dedicate a lot of time to. It's sad that younger people don't want to step into those roles because I know that they are intrigued by the history. The problem is they don't know about the history. They don't know about the things that have happened in their own town. And if they taught more of that in the schools, which I get it, you know, there's no questions about New Bedford history on the MCAS. There's no questions about Wareham, Fairhaven, Dartmouth town history on the MCAS. So they don't dedicate a lot of time to it. Some, but they're not going to dedicate, you know, months to it. But I think that if they did, the younger generation would feel more of an ownership toward it and would want to see it continue. Because that's what I always say. You know, I find that the, I guess we'll call them from the millennials on down, they're really into history. They just don't necessarily know history. And that's why we're seeing these organizations, why we're seeing these boards and commissions with empty seats. It's because the young blood isn't charged up enough about it. So maybe we can do something about that. 508-996-0500. Going to take a break and we'll be back in a few moments.
App.
Dan Hartman, what else you can dream about? You can dream about what you would do if you had $30,000 because you could be winning $30,000. Every hour beginning at 8 a.m. through 5 p.m., we are going to be giving away $100 cash here on WBSM. But also, every time you hear that code that you will enter to try to win that, you're going to get an entry for the $30,000 grand prize. What could you do with $30,000? I think you could do a lot, right? Tell me that wouldn't make a significant change in your summer plans. So again, listen hourly, weekdays from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. for codes, and then You can enter those codes in at WBSM.com or on the WBSM app. Each code enters you to win $100, plus each one is an entry for the grand prize of $30,000. And to enter in those codes, let me just remind you, you don't just go into app chat on the WBSM app. Still, unfortunately, a lot of people are doing that. That's not an entry. We can't help you out there. We can't enter it for you. That comes right here to us in the studio. We can't do anything with that. You have to enter it in where the codes are entered at WBSM.com or on the app. So where is that? If you open up the app, you'll see in the middle a row of buttons that you can press. And the first one says win cash right in the middle of your screen. If you don't see that, you want to close out the app and reopen it, or make sure that you have the latest version of the WBSM app downloaded. If you really get stuck, you could always just delete it and re-download it. That'll make sure you definitely have the latest version. But sometimes people's phones don't update the app, so you might not see the button there. But you can still go into the WBSM.com menu. Right there at the top of the page, you'll see Win Cash. That's where you want to go to enter in all of the codes each hour. And when you do go to WBSM.com or the app to enter in those codes, you'll see the chance to get some other entries by liking us on Facebook and following us on Twitter and all this other stuff that you can do that will earn you some free extra entries. So if you're not doing those things already, there you go. You get some extra chances at the $30,000 grand prize. So check it out. It's super easy to play. You're already listening to WBSM, so you might as well try to win cash here on WBSM. And it's brought to you by our friends at Architect Managed IT Services. And if you have any trouble with it, shoot me an email, tim@wbsm.com. I'm usually around my email throughout the course of the day. If I'm not in a meeting, I can answer and I can try to help you out. But I can't enter in the codes for you. So sending them to me will not help you out. They won't let me anywhere near being able to enter it because I work here. I'm ineligible. But I can kind of, you know, help you through it if you run into trouble. Speaking of trouble, yesterday I left the station. I think I picked up my friend at just about noon, a little bit before noon, to give her and her daughter a ride to the airport, to TF Green. And I had no trouble crossing the Washington Bridge. No trouble at all. It was a little slow heading to Warwick, but it wasn't like we were never stopped. We rolled right across, but we were probably down to, you know, 10 miles an hour. And then coming back, I actually dropped them off at the airport a little bit after 12:30, probably it was. And then I was like, okay, well, now I'm hungry. Going to get some lunch. And so I stopped at Maven's Delicatessen, the new Jewish deli that opened in Pawtucket last year. I had not had a chance to go yet, so I stopped in there, had a great sandwich. And then probably 1:30 or so, I hit the bridge again. No issues. So granted, this isn't, you know, rush hour traffic time, but it's still the height of the weekday, and it was okay. Is it optimal? No. Does it get far worse at rush hour? Yeah, I was in it at 4 o'clock, 3 o'clock, a couple weeks ago, maybe 3:30, and it was a lot slower going, but it's not as terrible as some of the stories are. 508-996-0500. I'm going to take my final break of this hour. And you know, if you haven't seen this week's episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm, Bruce Springsteen has a guest spot on it, and he fit right into the Curb Your Enthusiasm, you know, milieu. I never would have thought he would be, you know, a perfect fit amongst Larry David and his friends. But man, now I wish there was a whole.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.